Welcome to Make It Rain with Adam Schein on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, yes, Tuesday edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein here on VSiN. And my goodness, we have so much to do today. What a day to talk sports. What a day to talk sports betting. It's one of those fun shows. We've got nonstop NBA. We have a monster trade. We have future plays. We have NBA draft bets that we are going to lock in. I am really looking forward to that. It's Tuesday, so we have some draft talk, some NBA futures talk, some Wimbledon talk with our guy, the Z-Train, Zach Cohen, VSiN.com superstar. We're going to get into some great football today. Can Travis Hunter win Offensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year? We're going to give you some best bets in those categories. Aaron Rodgers telling our good friend Pat McAfee this should be his final season in the NFL. Even more reasons to bet the over when it comes to some of my favorite Aaron Rodgers props and win totals for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we've got a lot going on. A lot of good stuff to bet on. A lot of good stuff to get into. And let's start with a holiday in Boston, as the Boston Celtics, and you could have knocked me over with a feather on this one for a lot of different reasons, late yesterday, traded Jrue Holiday full circle back to the Portland Trailblazers. And it's really interesting here, and I think, first of all, just as a backdrop, this is kind of important. You know, here we go. Back-to-back days, we have NBA All-Stars and Team USA stars traded in consecutive days on the calendar. Sunday was Kevin Durant. Monday, Jrue Holiday. And yeah, I'm putting Jrue Holiday in that class because he has as many rings, he's got two, as Kevin Durant. He is a Team USA legend. He won a chip in Boston, hit 43% of his threes this past year. Sure, he's 37 years old, but he is still one of the best leaders and defensive ball players in the NBA. And I love this deal for Boston. If you're a Boston Celtics fan, you have to appreciate the genius here of Brad Stevens, right? First of all, getting Simons back and 2 second-round picks. Listen, there's now flexibility. This is not about what you receive for Jrue Holiday. This is about shedding money. This is a salary dump, make no mistake. And it's on a few different levels and layers here. Number one, Jason Tatum's out for the year. And if we're off on that assessment, I feel very comfortable framing it that way from a reality and a sports betting perspective, because when you're picking the Celtics, betting the Celtics, you assume Jason Tatum doesn't play a minute. That has to be the baseline. That has to be the backdrop. It also is the philosophy and the baseline and the backdrop for Brad Stevens and how he goes about his business this offseason. Because the Boston Celtics, 1 year ago at this time, we're talking about, can they repeat? They win one, okay, could win more. By the way, I was all in on that until Team USA basketball, with all the drama with Tatum and Brown and White and Holiday, and then I was off it, seriously, and I was right about that. And I think that's important here because the Celtics, with the Tatum injury, had no chance to win a championship. So then you factor in the money. $72 million owed to Holiday 2026-2027, 2027-2028. So they free up that money, which matters in terms of second apron. They save $40 million in terms of the luxury tax. Oh, by the way, there's a new owner coming. And that's kind of a huge deal here when you look all the way around for the Boston Celtics. It also now gives them some flexibility. They, I believe, will trade, or at least make a concerted effort to trade, Kristaps Porzingis, who's an excellent player, won a championship, should always be celebrated in Boston. But like Jrue Holiday, even more so than Holiday, both had trouble staying on the court last year. Getting up there in age and injury is a factor. I could see them trying to trade Hauser. And then it gives them flexibility, too, on Jaylen Brown. And I don't think they should trade Jaylen Brown, but I do think they now can listen. You're going to have some very different, desperate teams out West who are all trying to win a championship. And if Jaylen Brown is your number two star, that's going to increase the likelihood. Maybe there's a team in the East like the Chicago Bulls or the Atlanta Hawks or the Indiana Pacers or the Toronto Raptors that would take the $350 million contract of Jaylen Brown. There are now options here. I also think it gives you the opportunity, as we look at the Eastern Conference odds, if you're Boston after the holiday trade, you could say, okay, let's keep Anthony Simmons, who shoots threes left and right, and obviously Joe Mazzulla wants that. You have, obviously, Jaylen Brown as your star. Derek White can absolutely be your number two or number three best player. And this feels about right in terms of where you put the Boston Celtics, frankly. I'd put them behind Orlando, but I'm comfortable putting them ahead of Philadelphia. I would right now put the Pistons ahead of them, but you know I can appreciate why Vegas is hesitant because now Boston has the opportunity to go in a few different directions. This is the genius here of Brad Stevens. Again, they're not winning a championship this year, but gives them flexibility if Giannis Antetokounmpo says, get me to Boston. Gives them flexibility if a team out west says, I'll take Jaylen Brown's contract. Gives them flexibility to stay as is and have those kind of odds when it comes to the Eastern Conference. So this is actually nothing short of genius here all the way around when you look at it from that standpoint. And honestly, I am fired up about it. I think that Boston is lucky to have someone like Brad Stevens. Jrue Holiday did a tremendous job, epitome of class, team leader. By the way, the hell are the Blazers doing? I mean, they've got an interesting collection of talent. They're actually, I think, pretty good. But what is this for? To finish ninth? If everything breaks right in the Western Conference? Weird from a Portland perspective. So we will get into some big picture on the Eastern Conference, get into the Pacers and the Celtics and which team you feel better about with the Tatum injury and the Halliburton injury coming up in a little bit on Make It Rain with Adam Schein. But some important baseball from last night and big picture in terms of betting. The Atlanta Braves handed the Mets their ninth loss in their last 10 games. Juan Soto and a 3-0 game hit a two-run jack. And then a couple of innings later, first and third, and he couldn't get it done. Struck out. Lefty-lefty situation. And the Braves are able to beat the Mets. And if you've been following the Braves and the Mets and their rivalry for years, that's like saying sky is blue or water is wet. I mean, that's just kind of the deal here when you look at it. I think if you are a fan of the Atlanta Braves, what Ronald Acuña Jr. has done has just been remarkable since he came back on the 23rd of May. We are talking about 40 hits, 9 home runs. We're talking about 16 RBI, batting average of .396, OPS 1.213. This cat is an absolute freak. I mentioned the 40 hits. He's 40 for 101, 21 walks. All this guy does is get on base. He gets on base over 50% of the time. Since he came back on May 23rd, he's first in batting average, second in OPS, third in hits, fourth in walks. This guy is unbelievable. And the Braves got some great pitching last night. Schermerhorn was able to take care of business. And the Mets are in trouble, man. I'm telling you. And now all of a sudden, what do you know? I hope you paid attention. They're plus money to win the division. I told you to bet Philly a couple of weeks ago when the Philly was in the middle of a June swoon. I told you the Philly was going to be A-OK. So that was when the Phillies were plus 300 at that stage. Everyone and their mother, including mine, was banking on the Mets. Mets got three more games. Mets have three more games at a hot and humid Citi Field against the Atlanta Braves. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost them all. Mets last 10 games, 1-9, 30 runs scored, 65 runs allowed. I don't think anything positive is going to happen here for the Mets. And by the way, I am not telling you that Ronald Acuña Jr. is going to win the MVP, but if you believe the Braves are going to make the playoffs, or bigger picture, if you believe the Braves are going to find a way, this would be a little crazy. If you think the Braves would find a way to win the division, yes, I would sprinkle a little bit on Acuña Jr. to win the MVP. Not going to be easy to obviously get the award with Shohei Ohtani, but I do think that is a worthy futures bet. If, in fact, you believe any of that big picture for the Braves, who I still think will make the playoffs via the wild card. Speaking of MVP, Cal Raleigh, my goodness. I mean, all this guy does is hit home runs. Four straight games with a homer. He is on pace for 67 homers. I want you to take a look at this in terms of the odds and the stats when it comes to the MVP race. And you know I'm a Yankees fan, and Aaron Judge is having a season for the ages, right? If Cal Raleigh can keep up this pace, he will be in the mix for MVP. If the pitching continues to be strong, and he's a catcher and that matters in terms of value, if he can keep the offense going, and it's usually, historically, numbers for catchers fade down the stretch of the season, dog days of summer, they're wearing the heavy equipment, the tools of ignorance, usually that's how it works and the numbers fade if you're a catcher. This is Barry Bonds material. I mean, Cal Raleigh has already shattered the Major League Baseball record for a home runs by a catcher eclipsing Johnny Bench in the first half of the season. I would also say, because this matters when it comes to MVP, if you think someone other than the Yankees will win the AL East, or if you have the Mariners making the playoffs, Cal Raleigh plus 550. Just saying.
Watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Let me ask you a question. You want to bet smarter this football season? Of course you do. VSiN Pro can help you start strong. Our new NFL betting guide drops next week. Early access means a better shot at spotting value in futures markets before the lines move. Now is the perfect time to join with our football special. Just $175 for VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. Pretty amazing. As for every sport we cover, every single day at a special early bird price. Certainly you sign up, the more you get out of it. You're going to be first in line for our NFL betting guide. Your playbook for the season, packed with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You'll get a daily best bet email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live on-demand shows via the critically acclaimed VSiN Watch app, full access to VSiN.com's analytics, tools, pro systems. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe now and lock in the football special for just $175. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. Make It Rain with Adam Schein. It's Tuesday. That means we have a lot to talk out on this Tuesday. And this one's a special question from our incredible producer, the great Michael Cohen. He wants to know, America wants to know, who is more likely to miss the playoffs, the Celtics or the Pacers? And this is one from a sports betting perspective, and it ties in with how we started the show. It's important to stress that the Celtics could go in a few different directions after the holiday trade. They could stay basically as is and go to work with Brown as their alpha dog and, you know, try to win as many games as possible. They can trade Brown. They can keep Brown, trade Porzingis, trade Hauser, and go to war that way. It's also going to be interesting to see if there's any flexibility here for the Indiana Pacers with the knowledge that, obviously, you know, Tyrese Halliburton's not going to play because of his Achilles, just like Jason Tatum's not going to play with his Achilles. Celtics are 16-1 to win a title. Pacers, if you remember, the morning, the afternoon before Game 6, we talked about this at length on Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Before Game 6 last week of the NBA Finals, the Pacers had better odds to win the title next year than this year, which makes no sense considering they went to a Game 7. Turned out, obviously, that was right for a lot of obvious reasons, Thunder being great, and, you know, nobody knew that Halliburton obviously was going to get hurt and that was going to happen the way that it did. Halliburton says he has no regrets. He had a very passionate tweets, you know, saying that anyone says he's going to come back stronger. They don't know what rehab is. He's in some physical pain. He's in mental pain. He said he has no regrets about trying. He wanted to win so badly, wants to be a champion, wanted to win for the Pacers fans and for Indianapolis and how much he loves the city. I will answer the question by saying this. Neither one of these teams will miss the playoffs. It's the Eastern Conference. They will both make the playoffs. I firmly believe that. I also think, and we talked about this at length between Game 5 and Game 6, and obviously Halliburton was sensational Game 6, I would have considered shutting him down there from the medical staff. Obviously, for Halliburton, there was no way that was going to happen. He has his contract. He's been part of Team USA. He's had the most majestic, amazing, legendary ride in the postseason, arguably, that we ever saw with all those upset special money line wins. He wanted to play. I do think that the medical staff could have saved Halliburton and Rick Carlisle, for that matter, from themselves. Not the coach, not the player. The medical staff. But I don't think that either one of these teams will miss the playoffs when it's all said and done. Both these teams are still really strong. And both these teams, when it's all said and done, have, you know, really too many intelligent people involved in basketball operations for these organizations. Which team in the East is most likely to take advantage of the injuries? And I think this is an important topic. And I also think it's important here in terms of shaping the offseason. Now, obviously, we're talking about Dame, and we're talking about Tatum, and we are talking about Halliburton as the backdrop guys here in terms of they're done for the year, right? And maybe Lillard will get back at some point. We're going to operate with that as the backdrop. Not going to play next year because they tore their Achilles, all three of them, this postseason. So I will answer it from a betting perspective and say that my favorite bet on the board is Orlando. I'm obsessed with the Desmond Bane trade. Obsessed with the Bane trade and Banchero becoming a star. And I love Wagner. I love Suggs. The answer is, to me, on the board, Orlando. I think that is a great bet. I also think the Pistons are a sensational bet at 16-1. Detroit was that close to beating the Knicks. And in theory, the Knicks are the conventional wisdom pick here. I also think the more and more this goes on with the injuries with Tatum, and with Halliburton, if I'm Milwaukee, I wouldn't trade Giannis Antetokounmpo. In fact, I would try to surround him with as many parts and pieces as I can now, because in theory, and look, Doc Rivers can't coach his way out of a paper bag. That's their problem, not mine. Bucks with Giannis should be able to at least make some noise in the Eastern Conference. I don't see why they would think anything else with all those aforementioned injuries on those key signature teams. I don't take Philadelphia seriously. Never have, never will. Joel Embiid will never win a championship, will never get out of the second round, never has, feel very comfortable saying all this. So I think when it's all said and done, those are the best bets. But the Cavs are obviously the best team. We'll see what happens with Garland's health and if they can bring back Ty Jerome in terms of the second apron and the luxury tax. The answer should be my Knicks, but it'd be nice if the Knicks actually hired a head coach. If it's Mike Brown, I'm going to throw up. And I happen to like Mike Brown a lot. I like Taylor Jenkins. I don't think either one of these guys are even close to Tom Thibodeau, which goes back to my rant after they fired Tom Thibodeau, or even after the season ended before they fired Tom Thibodeau. All you had to do was run the damn thing back. That's all you had to do. And you would, in fact, be the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. I would accept Johnny Bryant. I still think there's a shot for Jason Kidd. Which team in the Wild West is the biggest threat to the OKC dynasty? And I do think that OKC, being a monster favorite out west, makes sense. Everyone's coming back. They're young. They're talented. Everyone's under contract. They're deep. They've got two first-round picks, one in the second. Whether or not they use all of them remains to be seen. Wouldn't be surprised if they did, or they could trade back, or they could sell one for cash, or they could trade up for one key signature piece in a draft that has a lot of great top 10 players. I think that the two best bets on the board that you see on your screen, I would say Houston for all the reasons we documented yesterday. And let's assume that the Lakers know what they're doing and they get a rim protector, someone who can play defense down low. I'm not ruling out the Lakers in a plus 900. I think that is a really, really good bet. Can Travis Hunter win Offensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Rookie of the Year? Hunter officially signed his four-year, $46.65 million contract, which is fully guaranteed. $30.57 million signing bonus was paid entirely up front. That said, a new record. So let's look at the offensive rookie of the year. And Travis Hunter right now is tied for third when it comes to the best odds. I think Ashton Gentry wins offensive rookie of the year. I think that Cam Ward is number two on the list for all the right reasons. I firmly believe that. I think that Hampton is certainly going to put up some numbers. Tyler Shook is going to play, and it oftentimes is a quarterback award. I think Travis Hunter, though, has a great shot because he's going to make a ton of splash plays, and he's going to help Trevor Lawrence go to a different level. I think that Liam Cohen, Mr. Duval, is going to want him to get the ball. You know, it's just very difficult to beat out quarterbacks and an every down back with someone like Ashton Gentry. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Hampton can help the Chargers win the division. But take a look at the defensive rookie of the year odds. And I know he's going to focus on offense, but it's a weird year for defensive rookie of the year. Like, I think the two best bets on the board, right? If I had to make a pick today, it's Abdul Carter. Like, that's my pick. But Travis Hunter is next on the list. Weird year when it comes to this award, when it comes to future plays, when it came to the first round of this draft. So I'd be more inclined to sprinkle a little pizza money on Travis Hunter for Defensive Rookie of the Year as opposed to Offensive Rookie of the Year. How many games are the Steelers going to win with Aaron Rodgers? Rodgers telling our good friend Pat McAfee on Pat's Outstanding Show today. He's pretty sure this is it in terms of the last season of his NFL career. And I think Rodgers wants to go out with a bang. So I think you're going to see the Steelers win 10-plus games. I think they're more inclined now to make the playoffs than they were. The over-under is 8.5. I'll take the over at plus 110. I also love a lot of the plays for Rodgers. Passing yards, it's now up to, I hope you got it when it was much lower, 3,250. We got it at 3,000 a few weeks ago. Hope you did as well and you were paying attention. Over at minus 105. Over for the passing touchdowns plus money at 23.5. If this is it for Rodgers, he loves Mike Tomlin. He loves Artie the One-Man Party. Arthur Smith calling the plays. He's going to go out with a bang. I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers after all.
Watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Time is running out. Enter to win a free entry into the Circa Survivor, the Circa Million Contest Proxy Service, included with 21 million guaranteed prizes up for grabs. Deadline to enter. I repeat, the deadline to enter tomorrow. Wednesday, June 25th, 11:59 Eastern Time. Winners are going to be announced live this Friday on a numbers game with Gil Alexander, and they'll get the exclusive strategy access to Gil all season long. Go to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter now. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Welcome back, Megan Rainer with Adam Schein. Joining us right now live on the Progressive Guest Line. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. VSiN.com superstar, senior editor, betting analyst, all-around great guy, the great Zach Cohen. Z-Train, how are you?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to the draft tomorrow night.
Yeah, I am too. And I love the NBA draft. Always have, always will. I think this year it's really deep. It's really talented. I can't wait for it. Now, before we get into some of these bets and plays and facts and figures and guys we like with the draft, we literally seconds ago just had another trade in the NBA. Pelicans trading CJ McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, and a future second round pick to the Washington Wizards for Sadiq Bey, Jordan Poole, and the number 40 pick, Z-Train, in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, it's another really good move for Washington, honestly. This front office kind of continues to impress. They've been drafting well, you know, the last 2-3 years. They have a nice young core there with Carrington, Coulibaly, and Saar. And, you know, they have another pick this year at 6 that they should be able to do a little bit of damage with. We'll talk about that in a little. But now they're going to have a ton of cap space next summer. So if they do kind of accelerate the timeline a bit with this, you know, young nucleus growing this next season, they're going to be a major player in free agency. Because people do love DC. That's a great market, and it's the Eastern Conference where players know that they can win because, you know, things are a little bit easier there than on the West.
Yeah, I think you nailed that, and I am fascinated to see how that impacts the draft, which we'll get to in a second as well. Let's get into the Thunder, and we haven't had a chance to talk since the championship, and now everyone wants to know, can they go back-to-back? So I'm curious, because the Thunder are going to run it back, obviously, and they've got a couple of picks in the first round tomorrow night. We'll see what Sam Presti does with that. Everybody's under contract, so we don't have to guess in terms of what the roster is going to look like. I don't see them doing anything major with the first 7-8 guys in that rotation, unless I'm missing something. I don't think that I am. So do you think, would you bet on the Thunder to go back-to-back? We have 7 different champions in the last 7 years in the NBA.
Yeah, I wouldn't as of today. I mean, maybe Presti turns some of those picks and, you know, end of rotation guy into an upgrade somewhere to address kind of the 3-point shooting problem that we saw in the playoffs. But as of right now, it's really hard to say plus 225 is a good price, knowing what we know about the Rockets, who I believe are ready to go in the Western Conference now. I mean, I thought the Durant trade was absolutely perfect for them, especially given what they gave up in that deal, which wasn't all that much. I mean, Jalen Green gave Houston nothing in the postseason. Dylan Brooks is a good role player, but he's really nothing special. Bringing Durant into that defensive ecosystem, it's going to be unbelievable to watch. I think that team can go toe-to-toe with the Thunder. I think that the Mavericks at 40-1 way down the board, if they get Irving back healthy in January and they are in the playoff picture, that's another team that I view as a championship contender. I just wouldn't want to play the Thunder at plus 225 when I think that there are better bets down the road.
Yeah, listen, we're on the same page here, and I love the Kevin Durant trade for Houston. And, you know, look, I picked OKC to win a title at every single point last year, and I think in theory they're locked and loaded to do it again. Conventional wisdom says they won't. We're Z-Train. Let's see what happens tomorrow and Thursday and next week. But right now, to me, I don't want to stop and slow down here on the impact of Kevin Durant and what he's going to mean in Houston. And I thought that was a sensational deal, and they barely gave up anything here if you look at the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I think that I'd rather play a team like the Rockets over the Thunder, just because the payout's better. We saw last year how good that team is defensively, and just adding a 28-point-per-game scorer that is pretty good on the defensive end of the floor. I mean, last year, the first half of the season, Durant was as locked in as ever defensively. He's still a really good kind of weak side shot blocker. He's not going to be a player that opposing teams could pick on. It was just a seamless fit, and they did not have to give up much of anything. So I definitely view them on that top tier with OKC.
All right, what was your take on the Jrue Holiday deal? And I'm a big Jrue Holiday fan. I think that the money that was on his contract was crazy. I think with new ownership, luxury tax, but most especially Z-Train with the Tatum injury, I personally think this was a genius move by Boston. What was your reaction to the Jrue Holiday deal? This is pretty significant on a lot of different levels.
I'm with you. I thought it was a stroke of genius from Brad Stevens. I think the fact that he was able to get picks to get off that Holiday contract was shocking to me. I know it was just second rounders. They might not mean anything, but it was just a little surprising that they didn't have to attach anything to get off what I believe is one of the worst deals in the NBA. And that has nothing to do with Jrue Holiday. Holiday is still a great two-way player, but he's up there in age. That's a long contract. It's an expensive contract. Getting off of it, you know, shedding some salary, getting, you know, a little bit further away from the second apron, which they're going to have have to continue to try to work with this summer. It was a big move, and you bring in Simons, who is an explosive player from the perimeter, a really good three-point shooter, both off the catch and off the dribble. They need somebody like that with Tatum out, and Simons, it's all upside in my opinion. You know, this is a guy that has never played with significant spacing around him. Now he has that in Boston. He has Joe Mazzulla, a great head coach, to try to get all of that potential out of him. You just got a player in his prime that can really contribute offensively for somebody that's, you know, kind of on the downside of his career. I love that move for Boston.
All right, you're a draft geek. I'm a draft geek. I was looking at some of these bets and some plays here. First of all, I think this draft is awesome. I think that, you know, the top 10 is legit in terms of really good to great players who can start or be first off the bench, like instantly, even on good teams. I even think there are some really good college players you could draft at the end of the first round. Let's call it 18, 20 to 30. Like, I'm kind of obsessed here when you take a look at it. I want you to take a look at this. Top 10 draft picks in terms of the odds. I think this is a really good board. I think Edgecombe right now going to Philly makes a lot of sense. The Ace Bailey thing is fascinating. I think he could be the second or third best player in this draft. Flag's going one. Harper's going two. Bailey blowing teams off. I mean, look, I don't mind a player trying to control where he goes, but being disrespectful, that's kind of a red flag. I'm obsessed with Colin Knipple. I love Trey Johnson. Give us some things that stand out from a basketball and a betting perspective, Z-Train, in the top 10.
Yeah, so I'll have something coming to VSiN.com in like 20, 30 minutes with a lot of this stuff. But I do love Jeremiah Fears to go top five at about plus 300. There's a lot of smoke about him going to the Jazz. Yeah, pretty much every big draft analyst that you could really trust thinks that there's real interest from Utah in bringing Fears in at five. And I definitely think that it makes a little bit of sense from an encore perspective. So if you could get that at plus 300 for him to go top five, I'd be looking at it. I also would take Bailey to go six at plus 220. I mean, it sounds like he wants to end up in Washington. If he does, it's going to be very risky for other teams to take him. And I do think that the Wizards would be happy to take, like you said, a borderline top three talent in this draft at six. Obviously, that's a team that was really bummed not to land a little bit closer in the lottery. Maybe they end up looking out with Bailey trying to, you know, steer his way to Washington.
Listen, I think Bailey to Washington, I mean, that'd be amazing for the Wizards, and they had the worst luck when it came to the draft. I really like Knipple going and fourth overall. You know, I've seen Gavoni, some other people, the draft guys having, you know, Fears going with that fifth pick to Utah. I do like Trey Johnson, though, as a player, just to throw that out. And I think Edgecombe, Z-Train, if he goes to Philly, I think that would be, in terms of character meets talent, and I don't like the Sixers mix at all. I think that'd be a great fit for Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm really high on Edgecombe. I just think he's such a good defender, such a good culture guy. They could really use a defensive player in that backcourt. And I'm with you on Trey Johnson. I just think anybody that can shoot the ball like that, 40% three-point shooter, can knock him down off the bounce, can knock him down off movement. He has a really high floor to me because you can use him as a spot-up guy if you need to, but he's way more than that. He can score off the dribble. He can attack the basket. He's a pretty good passer. It's all upside with him, and I do think that the floor is a little bit higher than people give him credit for. And I will say, before I get off, one of my favorite picks in this draft is Colin Murray Boyles under 14.5 draft position. I just think that a player like him has a lot of fans based on, you know, kind of the analytics test, where really good defender, really good steals guy that kind of impacts winning in a bunch of different ways. There's interest at 10, but I do think that some of the winning teams like the Thunder and Grizzlies are going to be trying to move up for him.
Oh, that'd be an amazing fit for a team like OKC.
Watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX, a peer-to-peer sports exchange available 40-plus states, first of its kind in the U.S. You're going to be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against the sports books. Exchanges guarantee the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download PropertX today with the code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Welcome back. Naked Rain with Adam Schein. Time for our news, notes, nuggets, and our nightly plays. And listen, I can't wait for this NBA draft. As we talked about with our friend Mr. Z-Train, and he's going to have an unbelievable betting guide to the NBA draft out in about 20, 30 minutes on VSiN.com. So make sure you check out what the Z-Train is cooking. Look, obviously you can't bet on Cooper Flagg because he's, you know, minus 100,000 to be drafted first overall. I'm disappointed in the sports gods for letting Dallas win this thing. Very disappointed in the sports gods. Dallas is not supposed to get someone like Cooper Flagg after they traded Luka Doncic. And Nico Harrison should not be rewarded with someone like this. I think Cooper Flagg is going to be a generational star. I think Cooper Flagg, if he fails, and I mean this as the ultimate compliment, is Jason Tatum. Like, that's his floor, right? In terms of someone who can distribute, do everything on offense, works harder than everyone else. I am a big believer here in Cooper Flagg in terms of what he's going to do instantly with the Dallas Mavericks. So I am ridiculously fired up for the draft. I'm fired up for Cooper Flagg. I'm fired up for the Mavericks fans. They did not deserve what transpired with Luka Doncic. Obviously, I just hate the fact that Dallas ownership and Nico Harrison get rewarded with this unbelievable legendary prospect. Now, I want to give you some other names and cats that we like and we might bet on here in terms of where they're ultimately going to land. First of all, Flagg, I think, is going to be a generational star. I think Dylan Harper, you can't bet on him because he's a lock to go number two. And that's why the odds are what they say on the screen, minus 90,000. And if you're the Spurs, don't think about where he fits in terms of position. You know, I remember when the Pistons did that with Darko Milicic and Carmelo Anthony. How did that work out? I love VJ Edgecombe. I loved him ever since. You know, I watched him this whole year at Baylor. We had Scott Drew, the Baylor coach, on our SiriusXM radio show. And I really think that Edgecombe, with his defense, his offense, his body type. Had Jay Billis on my SiriusXM radio show today. He said that Edgecombe, at this stage, reminds him of Oladipo when Oladipo was coming out of Indiana. Or Dwayne Wade when he was coming out of Marquette. Think about that. So I'm with Jay Billis on that, and I think Edgecombe absolutely is going number three to Philadelphia, and Philadelphia could use some great character players without question. I think that Con Knipple is going to be an awesome pro, tremendous in terms of catch and shoot, and he was a phenomenal college player, and when Flagg was hurt in those conference tournament games, obviously you saw what he was capable of, and, you know, he... Sometimes I think it gets lost, you know, Malawak and Flagg and Knipple. We're talking about three guys who are going to go in the top 10 of the draft. And I think that Knipple going to Charlotte makes a ton of sense. Look, if I'm Utah, I'm taking Trey Johnson plus 220. You heard what Z-Train had to say. And I've seen that in a lot of quarters. Smart people believing that Jeremiah Fears is going to go to the Utah Jazz. I do like him a lot as a player. I think Carter Bryant is going to be a really nice 3-and-D player for an NBA team, the Arizona kid. Trey Johnson can flat-out light it up and flat-out shoot. Ace Bailey is probably the third-best player in this draft. I don't like the fact that he just blew off teams. You know, controlling where you want to go, I mean, if it benefits you, we can have a discussion about it. John Elway did it. Eli Manning did it. But not being honest with teams or, you know, not showing up when a team like the Sixers set up workouts and flights and breakfast and dinner. I mean, that's bad mojo and bad juju. I don't like that at all. And that shows immaturity and also being unprofessional, which I don't love. I do love his game, though. And I do wonder aloud why Rutgers was so bad this past year, but that's another story for another day. But I do think Ace Bailey going 6th to Washington, a lot of smoke, a lot of fire around that. That absolutely makes a ton of sense. Some baseball news. Corbin Carroll placed on the injured list with a wrist fracture. And I don't know how the Diamondbacks survived this one. We got Corbin Burnes having Tommy John. He's done for the year. Corbin Carroll is going to be on the injured list. And right now the odds say The eye test says, the division says that this team misses the playoffs. I don't see how the Arizona Diamondbacks recover from this. I don't see how they find a way to make the playoffs. I philosophically think that they're the fourth best team at best when you look at the National League West. The Dodgers are going to run away with the division. I think the Giants are the second best team in the National League. I think the Padres are better. I had high hopes for the Arizona Diamondbacks going into this season. They have all since evaporated. And when you have Carroll out with a wrist fracture, which is as tough an injury as you can have in terms of, you know, there's no way to just, you know, rehab that and get better. Like, it's going to take time. It's going to take weeks. It's going to take a couple months to heal. That's a rough one here for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Corbin Carroll is such an excellent player. How about what transpired last night with the Cincinnati Reds and the New York Yankees? First of all, series like this, you know, we've come full circle from, you know, the 90s when it comes to interleague play. I used to hate it. That has changed. The game has changed. Baseball's changed. And it's great for the fans. It's great for the kids. It's great for the buzz. When you could have Ellie De La Cruz and you could have Aaron Judge playing in the same game. It's, you know, AL East taking on the National League Central. And, you know, if you're of a certain age, go back to the 70s, where the Reds were the big red machine. Yankees won World Series at the end of the decade, 77, 78. So there's a good old school feel about something like this. And again, like for my son, who's 10. So you have people my dad's age getting fired up about Reds, Yankees. You have the younger generation fired up about Ellie De La Cruz versus Aaron Judge. And they both homer in the same game. That's pretty sweet. Judge hit his 28th. De La Cruz, who had a cycle against the Yankees last year, homer, triple, drove in three runs. Gavin Lux also went deep. Told you yesterday, I make it rain with Adam Schein. We loved the Reds. And I don't like betting against my team, but I thought they had the pitching matchup. Couldn't believe they were plus money. We picked the Reds. We bet the Reds. And tonight, I do think with Rodon on the mound, the Yankees absolutely positively will bounce back in this one. I wouldn't even be surprised to see the Yankees hit on the run line tonight with Rodon, who has acted like an ace after a loss, and that's significant here for betting on this game. I was right last night about Yankees-Reds. I was dead wrong on the Cardinals and the Cubs. Like, bombs away kind of wrong with the Cardinals hitting not one, not two, not three, but four home runs. 8-2 win over the Chicago Cubs. I mean, this was a derriere kicking. And for the sake of conversation, let's give the Cardinals some love here. They have outkicked all expectations. They've been a million times better than we anticipated. Cubs still lead that division by 3.5 over St. Louis, 3.5 over Milwaukee, 5.5 over the Reds, who I still think when it's all said and done are going to play even better baseball here as we move forward down the stretch of the season. Time right now to give out our best bets, and they're brought to you by our good friends over at GBank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank. First bet in Visa. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card. First 90 days, you can deposit and play through $1,000 at first bet to trigger the trifecta. You're going to receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First bet's going to give you $100 deposit match. Visa completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October the 31st, $200 value. That's $500 trifecta from GBank. First bet, VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank, VSIN.com/GBank. It's a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to any requests to convert to existing accounts. Apply today. Terms, also conditions, absolutely apply. It's Tarik Skubal on the mound tonight. And they're facing the lowly, pathetic, embarrassing ace. How about Detroit's on the run line? -1.5 to win by at least two against the Manfred ace. Stay tuned to VSiN after Make It Rain for Follow the Money. Mitch is back. Paulie's still on a well-deserved vacation. So it'll be Mitch Moss and Matty Humans. You Gotta Love Sports coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. That'll be followed up by VSiN Primetime featuring the great Timmy Murray. And, of course, the great Will Hill. Then stick around for Cashing Out with Scotty Seidenberg coming up at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. I am off tomorrow, an observation of summer. Thanks to our guy, Evan, Allen, all the guys in the Vegas control room. Thanks to our great producer, the great Michael Cohen. We will talk to you Thursday. Make it rain with Adam Schein.